I'm excited to be here tonight and excited to open up the Word of God and just preach the Word of God. As I said this afternoon on a video on Facebook, 35 years ago, God, through His Holy Spirit, began to just burn a fire in my heart and my soul to preach. And God confirmed it in Numbers chapter 27. And then Pastor Hunt gave me a biblical charge right here in this pulpit before Lakes Palm Baptist Church, and that charge was from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the Word. Just preach the Word. And, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, in the last days, perilous times. We're in those last days. And it says, preach the Word. And why should we preach the Word? Because that's what strengthens our faith. That's what helps us through this life. This is where we live. This is where we get our strength and our comfort and our confidence is in the Word of God. And so tonight we're going to look at the Word of God, but first we're going to begin with prayer and ask for God's help as I preach the Word of God and as you and I receive the Word of God. And so let's begin with prayer this evening. Our gracious, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, Lord God, we once again come before Thy throne of grace. Lord, we're so thankful tonight that as Your children, as Christians, as believers that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and saved by the grace and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we come before You and we don't come to a throne of judgment. We come to a throne of grace where You've promised it. As we come, we could obtain and would obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And tonight, dear God, our precious Father in heaven, Lord, we ask You to just meet with us once again. Lord, as I stand behind this pulpit where the Word of God has been proclaimed faithfully year after year, Lord, I ask once again that You would do a work by Your Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, change us and move in our hearts and work in our lives. Lord, You've promised in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I thank You tonight. I commit this time to You tonight. Pray for our people, Lord. Sustain them. Help them, Lord. Meet their needs and watch over them. And Lord, use us in a very powerful way in these days for Your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, before we begin tonight, I want to turn over to the book of James for a moment, because you might be wondering what's going on in these days. And I know this from a study of the Scriptures, from my personal study of the Scriptures, that God has a purpose for us in all of this. God has a purpose for the world, and that's for them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He's warning the world, but I believe He's also just speaking to us as individuals, as believers, as a church. And it's an interesting verse. It's a verse that you know, but I think it's kind of interesting and almost a little bit humorous as we look at it. It's a familiar verse, and it's James chapter 4, beginning at verse number 6. It says, "But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." But here's a verse I want to bring your attention to. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And that's God's purpose in this, my friend. That's God's purpose, brethren, in this, is that of you and me, that through this we would be drawn closer to God, that we would draw nigh to God. But what's interesting is just check it out. It says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Look at the next thing it says. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Boy, we got that one down. We're doing a lot of that, aren't we? Right? I mean, we are doing more of washing our hands and keeping our hands clean than ever before. And so, you know, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, but check out the last part. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So we're cleaning our hands, and I know that's speaking more spiritually than it is practically, but we're washing our hands. But how much are we purifying our hearts? How much are we allowing God through this to purge us and sanctify us and help us to grow in faith and really cleanse our hearts and do a work within us. And that's what we want. That's my prayer for you, is that through all of this, we would come through. We wouldn't just survive. I do not want us to just survive and make it through. I want us to come through triumphant and know that God has wrought a good work in us, unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so I want him to do a great work within us and strengthen our faith and use us for his glory. But tonight, as I spoke earlier and as I sent a message out, tonight I want to speak to you and the theme, and probably the theme for a few messages going on is really specifically and very practically facing our fears with faith. Facing our fears with faith. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, I stopped a few days ago and was just sitting and I was thinking and just thinking about all the things, all the fears that I have faced in my life that I could think of. As an individual, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. And boy, they are many. And I just started going back over the years and thinking of all the things that came up and caused me to fear, because it happens, and it happens continually. And something will come up today, and your heart will be filled with fear. And what happens? What do you do with that? Well, you go and you react and you respond by faith. And sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a few moments or a few days or a few weeks. But the answer to the answer to facing your fears is when you're faced with fear that just stops you, because that's what fear does, you get back in the Word of God. And you go to the Word of God. And when you go to the Word of God, His Word will bring you from a place of fear to a place of faith, to a place of victory. But if you just stay in the place of fear, you'll be defeated every time. You know, many times, and most times, let's be honest, fear springs forth from some element of reality. It's always, there's some element of reality that all of a sudden is brought to you, or brought to your mind, or brought to your thoughts, or there's an element of reality that all of a sudden you're faced with, and if you're not careful, it will lead to fear. And so, faith is not denying the reality of life. Because what we're going through right now is a reality. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not the Twilight Zone. It's reality. But it's not to deny the reality of life, but it's to live in the reality of life by faith and not by fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Because listen, fear can only do one thing, destroy. It can only destroy. It stops you. It hinders you. It's destructive. Whereas faith can secure the victory. I want you to turn tonight. We're going to begin, and this is a topical message, so I want us to begin by looking at Psalm 24. You know, we looked at this psalm in relation to the other two psalms a few weeks ago. Psalm 24. Psalm 24 is about the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. And Psalm 24 is about the King, the Lord of Glory, in whom we trust. He's our shepherd. The same person of Psalm 23. He's our Savior, the same person of Psalm 22. But tonight I want us to specifically start by looking at verse number 1. Look what it says. When it speaks of the Lord, the King of Glory, our Lord, our Shepherd, our Savior, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. In other words, everything in this earth, everything is the Lord's. Tonight, I want to address from the Bible a fear that is real, because it does come from the elements of reality. But the good news is that it can be overcome by faith. And you say, what fear are you talking about tonight? Listen, I want to talk to you tonight about the fear which is financial. The fear which is financial. I am so thankful that through the testimony and the example of my parents, the testimony and the example of Allison's parents, through my study of the scriptures, and through the testimony of what God has done in my life, in Allison's life, in our family's life, that this is a reality that God, by His grace, has given me the victory over. When it comes to finances, 99% of the time, I can live by faith and fear is not there. And when fear comes up, boy, the faith easily overcomes my fear when it comes to, or the faith overly easily overcomes my fear when it comes to finances. So I'm going to speak to you tonight from the Bible about how faith can overcome the fear of finances, the financial fear. And it's a reality right now. Everybody is not only worried about the sickness, but everybody's worried about the economy. Everybody's worried about their jobs. Everybody's worried about their finances. That is a reality. There's an element of reality there. But listen, you know what the title of the message tonight is? God is not broke and He's not going bankrupt. God is not broke and He is not going bankrupt. You know, I stopped and I took some time to come up with some just simple statements that I hope will just help you consider this and think about this as we begin. Listen, the stock market may be crumbling, but God's stock is holding constant. Think about this. All the doors to businesses have closed, but the door to God's storehouse is wide open. The earth is turned upside down, but heaven is still right side up. Many people are seeking relief, but the child of God is more resting in the resources of his heavenly Father. Now, listen to this. Think about this. The streets of earth are paved with gravel and stone. The gates are made of iron. The foundations are cement. But in heaven, the streets are paved with gold. The gates are pearls. The foundation is made of precious stone. And our help cometh from above, from the God of heaven who sits upon his throne. And so our text tonight that we're just going, springing from is foundational text or proof text here is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, turn back all the way back to Genesis 14 for a moment. Genesis 14. You know, the lessons we learn, man, they start all the way back in the book of Genesis. All right, so Abraham is going out by faith to a place where God has called him. And he's walking by faith, living by faith, and he runs into trouble when Lot is taken captive in Genesis 14, and I don't want to look at the whole story, but I want to bring your attention to one of the names of God. And in verse number 22 of chapter 14 of Genesis, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And our God is the possessor of heaven and earth. And so tonight we're going to look and we're going to look at the Bible and see how our faith can overcome our fear, especially when it comes to finances. But let me give you how we're going to look at this, because the principles by which we look at this one subject tonight are the same principles by which you look at every situation, every circumstance when it comes to fear and it comes to faith. First of all, we're going to look at proof from the Bible. What do you mean God's a possessor of heaven and earth? How does that relate? How does that work? What do you mean? Well, I want to show you proof from the Bible tonight, evidence that you can trust when it comes to your financial situation as we read the scriptures about God, the possessor of heaven and earth, how he takes care of everybody. He takes care of his people. Second, I'm going to by God's grace, refresh your heart. Notice I said not your mind. Notice I said not your memory, but your heart and your soul with the promises that God has given to us as his children. And then third, I want to give you some practical application for your life. And you can utilize these principles and this way to study it out for every fear. Proof, promises, practice. Proof, promises, practice. All right, I don't have to mention my points again, do I? All right, proof, promises, and practice. So first, let's this isn't going to be real long tonight, because you can look and study this on your own, and I trust you will. But first, proof. The evidence from the Bible, the testimony of God in the Scriptures that will strengthen your faith. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. He is El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. So just stop and consider for a moment. We could look at many examples in the Bible. But stop, because right now it seems like we're in the wilderness, right? The Lord has, as Luke 4 and verse 1 says, the Spirit of God has led us into the wilderness. Well, stop and think about Israel. Come on, you want proof? You want proof of what God can do? How God can take care of your life? In the midst of the wilderness, they were 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness, and God took care of every need that they had. I mean, he provided for their every need. Water out of a rock, manna from heaven, all the way through. But it comes down to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 4, where at the end of those 40 years, as Moses is about to leave the scene and turn it over to Joshua, and then they go into the promised land, Moses says this, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot." God's testimony is that for his people Israel, for 40 years, he took care of their every need. And he says, not only did I provide for your every need, he said, but I also preserved your clothes and your shoes. Because let's face it, there wasn't a Walmart around the corner that was open. They couldn't turn and go to Walmart. Even if it was open, they couldn't go there. God says, your shoes didn't wear out, your clothes didn't wear out. And he says, I fed you every day. I gave you water every day. I fed you. He says, I took care of you. Look at Elijah. Just stop and think about Elijah. All right? What's happened? No rain. So there's a drought. There's a famine. Right? God tells Elijah, you go down by the brook. What's he do? Feeds him by the brook. Gives him water. Feeds him from a raven. Right? Brook dries up. All right, Elijah, go down to this widow's house. A widow? Really? You're gonna take care of me from a widow? He goes to the widow. She's got barely nothing. She's running out. She's got enough for her last meal. And what does God do? God feeds him from the seamless end of supplies of a widow and meets her need as well. And so God took care of Israel. God took care of individuals. But go over to Acts chapter 4, because someone would say, well, that's all the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Well, Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, I want you to notice something. In Acts chapter 4, because this relates to you and me, and this is a testimony of the church. The testimony of the church. And by the way, Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and I'll tell you this, in Acts chapter 4, the reason why we can read in Acts chapter 4, what we're about to read, is because they feared God and lived by faith more than they feared man or the circumstances in which they found themselves. But Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Look at verse number 34. "Neither was there any among them that lacked." For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But it says, neither was there any among them that lacked. And so, you know, God takes care of his own. God takes, he gives us proof. And you know, God can use the elements of nature. He can take what he has created, which he sustains, which he possesses, because it says the Lord is possessor of all things, the earth and the fullness of the earth. He can provide for you and me through the elements of nature. He can use the things of individuals, or he can use the supplies of many. God is not limited in resource, and God is not limited in ways to provide. He can provide, he will provide, and the way that he provides is far beyond you and me. You know, I want to give a testimony. I want to give you a testimony, because you might think, well, Pastor, you're leading up to pleading with us for money. Not once have I mentioned or purposed to mention about giving or tithing. Now, later on in the message, I am going to mention it because it's part of living by faith. But I determined that I am not going to plead with you to give, because I am trusting God to take care of the needs of Lakes Palm Baptist Church. And I know he will, because I've seen him already. Last Wednesday, as I was coming down to church to get ready to preach, I went to my back door where my office is. I pulled up at the back door, and there was a FedEx envelope on the ground. Thank you, FedEx. On the ground outside the door, an urgent overnight FedEx envelope left on the ground. But in it was a thank you note. And in that thank you note from someone that is not from here, a family that's not members, they don't live in the state of Connecticut, but a thank you note for our ministry. And in it was a check for $4,805. $4,805. And we didn't take an offering Sunday morning. Now, I know you people were giving, but we didn't have church, so we didn't take an offering. And God said before that, listen, here's $4,805. That's one thing. So Sunday morning I preach. Sunday morning I stood right here. I preached to a camera, preached to two cameras and about four people, which this still is weird. But at least I don't have to tell you to wake up. But I got done preaching and went to leave, and we were locking up the building, and a Jeep pulls up in the back. And not a member of the church, and a Christian, and someone that I knew, and a Christian, but not a member, doesn't attend here, doesn't come. And he pulls up, and we get out, and we sit down by the picnic tables, and he said, the Lord woke me up this morning and said, hey, go to Lakes Pond and give him some money. So he opens his wallet, and he starts peeling out $100 bills. And he peels out four $100 bills. And then he looks back in his wallet and says, you know, I don't need this one either. He said, I was going to use this to fix something on my Jeep. I don't need that either. Here's $500. So before we could even take an offering, God had given us over $5,000 already. So I know God is able to take care of us. He's proved it by the testimony of scriptures, and he's proved it just recently to us through what he has done beyond you as members of Lakes Palm Baptist Church. And so God is the Lord. He's El Elyon. He's the possessor of heaven and earth, and the earth and the fullness therein belongs to God. But second, not only, so you look at the proof, and there's the proof. And I could give you testimony after testimony from my own personal life. But there's the proof from scripture and from recent testimony of what God is able to do. But now, I'm just going to take a second, just a short time, to refresh your heart, your mind and your soul with his promises. But for the sake of time, just one promise. It's one that you know because it's been spoken and reminded to every one of us from this pulpit over and over and over and over and over again. Matthew 6:33. And we could say it. We don't need to look it up. We could say it. We could say it over and over again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what's interesting about that? And there's a promise. God says, you seek me first and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he says, and he goes in that portion of scriptures, it speaks about what things? Well, all the things that the Gentiles seek, all the things that the world seeks, God says, listen, you put me first, and I'll provide those things that they are seeking after diligently and fervently and just wildly seeking after. He says, I'll provide for them. So let me ask you a question. And listen, tonight you can't answer and get it wrong, by the way. But let me ask you a question. And the question is this. Just stop and think, because this is a humorous testimony of God's provision. So when this all started to come about, this coronavirus in the United States, you know, what's the first thing everybody started running to Walmart for and everywhere else? Toilet paper. Toilet paper. You know, amazing. Everybody's scrambling for toilet paper. People are standing on the street corners and, you know, there's toilet paper exchanges and people are giving out toilet paper. And they're all scrambling for toilet paper. I don't know why, but they are, right? All right, here's the testimony. This is beautiful. This is awesome. It's just the neatest thing. So a few weeks before this all started, a Christian man who's a truck driver came up to Norm, and he pulls up to the church to Norm and he says, hey, listen, I drive a truck. Many times when I drive the truck, I have supplies that for whatever reason don't get delivered. I'm stuck with them. I'm stuck with them. You know what he was stuck with? You know what he gave us? Three cases of toilet paper. I tell you, God's got a sense of humor. But God says, I want you to understand the truth of my word. The Gentiles, the world, is seeking after toilet paper. And he says, before they start seeking after toilet paper, hey, let me give you the toilet paper let me just provide the toilet paper for Lakes Palm Baptist Church. I laugh every time I think about it. God says, I can provide cases of toilet paper for Lakes Palm Baptist Church while the rest of the world is scrambling to get it. And listen, if you need any, call Norm. Don't bother me. All right? He'll stand out there and throw some to you as you drive by. But God's able to provide cases of toilet paper to a church. You know why? Because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So that's that. I mean, the promise is there. The proof is there. The promises are there. And there's many other promises, but the promises are there. So let's go to the third point, the important point. So there's proof, there's promises. All right, how do I apply this practically? How do I take the proof, the evidence from Scripture, and the evidence from testimony? How do I take the promises? How do I get that proof and that promises to change my heart to stop fearing and live by faith? Where does it fit in? How do I do that? Well, let me give you some practical, three practical things. First, turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Because this will lead to the next two too. Psalm 37. Look at Psalm 37, and one of my favorite psalms, one that I just endeavor to live by. Psalm 37, and the first thing it says, fret not, and here in this case, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. But the Lord says, fret not. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't fear. But instead, look at verse number 3. And just this verse as it relates to tonight. Trust in the Lord and do good. All right? Trust in the Lord and do good. There's God's promise. Trust in the Lord, do good. And what does God say will happen? Because it says, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God says, trust me, live by me, obey me, live by faith, do good. And he says, I guarantee you will dwell in the land, and I guarantee you will be fed. That's the first way. Stop fearing, start trusting and living by faith and obey the word of God. When you do that, God says, you'll dwell in the land. You'll be fed. I will take care of you. So that's the first thing. But ask yourself this question in relation to this. All right, as we talk about finances, as we talk about the financial picture, what does it mean to do good? Specifically, when it comes to finances, what does it mean to trust in the Lord and do good? Well, that comes down to giving. Now, I'm not going to talk about giving here because I'm worried about the finances of Lakes Pond Baptist Church. I'm not. I'm not worried about my own finances. And we're not. I am going to speak this for your benefit, for your well-being. Because it says, trust in the Lord and do good. And when we begin to fear financially, one of the first things we do is we begin to hold on to what we have. And that is a dangerous road to start to walk down. Because when it says, trust in the Lord and do good, that has to do with living by faith in the midst of these days and being careful to make sure that you give as well. So first of all, trust in the Lord and do good. And then second of all, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. Listen, turn to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 through 12. It's a principle that God has. It's found in the Old Testament, but it's a principle that God has. And by the way, God doesn't need your money, but God does want you to trust him and show that you're trusting him, and give in love and obedience to him. Malachi chapter 3, look what it says. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. There's a warning before that. You can read it on your own. But look at verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. So what is God saying? God's saying, listen, trust me, and in your trust, show your faith to God. Because when they were in the wilderness, he says, one of the reasons I brought you in the wilderness is to prove you, to see whether you're trusting me, to see how much you're trusting me. And God has brought us to this place in these circumstances, really to reveal to us, because he knows our hearts, but to reveal to us, to reveal to me, to reveal to you, how close am I drawing nigh to God? How much am I depending upon God? How much am I living by faith? How much am I yielding by, and how much am I giving to the Lord by faith? And he says, when you give, he says, prove me. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven. There's a storehouse. It's not shut up. It's open. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. And he says, you'll be a nation that is blessed. And so number one, trust in the Lord, do good. Number two, give to the Lord. And let me just say this, be cheerful in your giving, not careful. Be cheerful in your giving and not careful. Because you know what? God will not be in your debt. He will not fail you. He will take care of you. We've seen that. And then lastly, giving to others. You know, you go back to Acts chapter 4. They were giving and they were giving to one another. What does 1 John 3:17 say? Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother of need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion, and how dwelleth the love of God in him? And so it's giving to the Lord and it's giving to others. You know, the worst thing a child of God can do in difficult times is stop giving to the Lord. So the worst thing you can do is when you are facing difficult times is to say, you know what? I can't afford to give to the Lord. No. You can't afford not to give to the Lord. You can't afford not to give to the Lord. Because your giving shows that you're trusting Him and trusting that He will take care of your needs. And so trust Him and continue to give. And so in conclusion, faith, proof, promises, and practical. For every challenge, look at the proof, look at the promises, and then put it into practice. And remember, God's not broke. He's not going bankrupt. He's El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth, the Lord, the King of glory, and the earth and the fullness of all therein is His. You know, I'm excited about what God is doing. And when it comes to the financial picture, I'm praying that God would not only just see us through, but what a testimony it would be. What a glorious and great thing it would do if the world around us saw that Christians weren't fearing but trusting, God was taking care of them, they're giving, and wouldn't it be neat if we were able to give more to missions through all of this? We can do it. God can do it. And so I'm praying that God is glorified as we, more than we ask or think, because He's able to do more than we ask or think, Ephesians chapter 3. But I'm praying and trusting God that He's going to work in our hearts, work in our lives, and He's going to do something great so that the world will notice and it'll bring glory and honor unto God in these days. Let's pray.